And we kind of have the same shirts on. Several green ones this morning.
Great minds think alike. All right, if this works, happy Mother's Day. I'm so grateful for my mother, who not only gave me life, but also, when she came to faith in Christ, did everything in her earthly power, which was quite a bit, to get me in church and to bring me to Christ. And it's probably through her prayers that I'm alive and a believer today. How many can say thank you for Mom?
Thank you for Mom.
Amen. And I'm thankful for my wife, the mother of our two sons, who yesterday we celebrated 17 years of marriage. Praise God. Much to her embarrassment, I was telling everybody I could find about that yesterday. She is a wonderful mother to our boys and a mother to many others there in Peru. She has many sons and daughters in Peru that she cares for and mothers all the time. If you ever come and visit us, you'll see. So everybody, again, let's just say thank you, Mom.
Thank you, Mom.
Thank you, Mom. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to miss Jason's family. It will be a blessing for Dallas. We will certainly miss them here. But let me just say this before I start my little presentation now. We are so grateful every time we come back to see this family and see Brother Jason active in ministry and his wife and kids, how they love God, love each other. And now they're leaving. And there's a sense of loss. But they're not leaving. They are being sent out. You know, I get called a missionary because I go to Peru and hablo en español. But they are going to Dallas, Texas. How many know Dallas, Texas is a mission field? Yes? And so this is a missionary church, and I'm so grateful that God has brought us to be a part of this fellowship. And I love the fact that this church is always sending out, launching out missionaries from here to the ends of the earth. And from our perspective, Dallas is the ends of the earth. Amen. They need the gospel over there. I'll tell you what. One time I was I had a friend that a Christian friend that thought we were out in the jungle or way up on the top of a mountain somewhere. And I said, no, actually we're in a large city that's in a valley surrounded by mountains. We go out in the Quechua villages, but most of our work is in the city. And this person was kind of disappointed and said, oh, I thought you were, you know, like out there in the bush where it's exciting. I said, oh, it's really exciting in the city. And I know people have different ideas in their mind of what a missionary is, like someone with a pith helmet and a machete cutting through the jungles. We do that for fun. We go out in the jungle to get away from the city. That's our vacation once a year. But most of our time is in an urban context with lots of people. But that's where the church needs to be. Many, many Christians have abandoned the cities and fled to the suburbs and then fled out to the country. But the city is where human beings are, and that's where Jesus is. If you read the scriptures, I get this picture of Jesus surrounded by crowds all the time. He would go out in the wilderness to pray and be with God. Then he would come back and get in the thick of things where people are. And that is exactly where the Church of Jesus Christ needs to be. And so, bless you, brother. Praise God that you're going in obedience to God right where the church needs to be, right there in Dallas. And I'm excited to hear about the things that will be happening in the years to come. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have a lot to do this morning, and I hope that it will be edifying for everyone. I'm always built up whenever I come to church and come to God's Word. Could we open the Bible to 1 Peter chapter 2? Verse 9. Now, if you have the verse already, please say amen. Okay, this side has it. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Praise God for his wonderful word. Let's pray. Father in heaven, through Christ, we come to you and give you thanks for your word, which is true, and your love that has reached down and lifted us up out of the darkness and the lies of this world and grafted us into the branch, into the trunk, into the vine, into your people. We thank you for making us yours, Lord, and we believe your truth, and we ask you, please, your spirit that is everywhere, be especially present with us today and help us to believe and to walk in the truth in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, that's our verse, and I want to get to this verse here. I need to let you know a little bit about what's going on in Peru, give something of a missions report here. I have been back in Peru. My wife is originally from Peru for 5 years. As I mentioned, we're in a large city called Huanuco. It's about 187,000 people. It's about a mile high in this narrow little valley. Jason, you've brought the youth and the group from the church before. So many people here have visited Huanuco. And we have, as the pastor mentioned, graduates from Calvary Commission with us. Brian and Michael are learning Espanol every day, working hard on it. They always call me up once a week and we talk in Espanol until they can't anymore and then they switch back to English. Or Texan, which is almost the same thing as English. And then we have Taylor, also a graduate from Calvary Commission. She went down this past week. She got there before we did, and she'll be working on Spanish. And we have two other young ladies, my sister being one of them, who are moving to work with us in the school. Our ministry there consists of two big projects. One is a school called the Christian School of the Andes, and the other is a church. The Christian School of the Andes has 24 students this year, and we have Peruvians, three full-time Peruvian teachers, plus the girls that have come down to help teach English and other courses. The church has been going now for 3 years, and we just now got a name for our congregation. Last year, we had the group from Calvary Commission and come down and visit, and the congregation heard that the name of this church back here is Church of the Living Hope, and that sounds beautiful in Spanish, and so our congregation copied the name, and we are Esperanza Viva Huanuco. That's a good name. It comes from also from 1 Peter. It says in 1 Peter, what is it? It's in here, isn't it? Where is that? You've been praised God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen. He has given us new birth into a living hope. And this world needs hope, and we come to proclaim hope in Christ. So Brian and Michael are helping us with the church. They are already preaching and teaching, and Brian says sometimes they have to help me when I don't know what to say in Spanish. They shout it out, but they're up there preaching and teaching with our congregation. They're also sharing Christ with people in our community, and we'll be working in building a new school. That's our project that we've been working on for some time. We've had several delays, but we have a little piece of land, which in and of itself is a miracle, on the outskirts of town. And we'll be building a new building that will house the school and be a place to meet for worship and a center of ministry there. And so both these men with their construction skills will be helping us. We hope to lay the foundation this time when we get back, what will be the summer of this year. So that's what's going on with the school. Now in a minute here, I'm going to share a video, and you'll get to see pictures of our students and some of our volunteers. It's not a video, I'm sorry, it's just a slideshow, but you'll see some of what's going on there in Peru. However, I'd like to share the word a little bit here. Can we do that? Praise the Lord. You are chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Peter starts off this section, this passage of his letter, with a call to holiness. Anybody ever heard of holiness anymore? What is holiness? Holiness is our response to the call of a loving God. Yes? Now, sometimes our churches and religious groups have listed holiness, have reduced holiness down to a set of regulations, and it's kind of like in the Jewish tradition around Jesus' time. They had the law of Moses, and then they added their traditions, and then more traditions, and they called it putting a fence around the law so that people would obey all these traditions and hopefully never break the law. And that's one way to go about it, but it's very limited. Because as Christ showed us, you can apparently be jumping through all the hoops and doing all the religious regulations, but your heart is very far from God. How many know that's possible, even in church, even in a Christian context, even in ministry, even here, to outwardly look like we're doing great, but inwardly our hearts are far from God? And so biblical holiness, true holiness, starts on the inside and then it works its way outward. And it starts with knowing the Holy One. And when we have met a holy God, when a holy God has met us, then that changes the way we respond to Him, the way we respond to each other, the way we respond to the world around us. And so Peter is calling the church, the Christians that are scattered all over the place. He says, listen, this is true. And because this is true, this is how you live. Truth guides life. And the question is, who are you going to believe? Let God be true and every man a liar. Are we going to believe what God says about us? Or are we going to believe what the world, the flesh, and the devil say about us? Human beings are creatures of stories. We like stories. We like to hear stories. And we define ourselves by the stories we tell ourselves. Whose story are you going to believe? Do you ever think about it like that? I mean, think about it. A kid grows up. We're involved in education. We see these children growing up. And it's amazing. You take two little babies, set them next to each other. They can be identical in every way. But you put one in one place and another in another place. And those babies will grow up according to the stories they've been told. And I don't just mean Hansel and Gretel or the three little piggies. But I mean mama and daddy and brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and friends and family members and neighbors and school teachers and people they watch on TV and the books they read and all around them are communicating a way of looking at the world. A story. And they communicate, this is what matters in life. This is what you should work for. This is the kind of person you should be. This, young lady, is how you should dress, act, and conduct yourself. This, young man, is the thing that's worth living for. True? Okay, so the world tells us stories. And it tells us, this is who you are. This is what you're called to do. And people, from the time they're little people to the time they're old people, live their lives according to the stories they've been told and that they inwardly believe. In the place where we work in Peru, it's a beautiful country. I love Peru. I'm happy to go back. It's a very intense place to be. You have these massive mountains and Amazon rainforest. I believe the people are beautiful there. I enjoy the warmth and the family life in Peru. My wife has her family is very close. Physically, we all live within geographic proximity, very close to each other. There's about 40 people at our dinner table whenever we all get together, which could be any day of the week. So it's a great situation. I love being around family and friends, and that's awesome. However, Peru is a country whose story is marked with sadness and with tears. And they have had conquest, and they've had war, and they've had violence in recent times. They had a civil war terrorist movement that tried to overthrow the government and came very close to doing so. They were communist, and they're still active in the southern part of the country. They've had drug related violence. The most of the world's cocaine and the best cocaine in the world comes from about 3 hours from our front door. I had a friend one time who had just become a Christian not too long before, and I went to Peru and I came back, and he said, I said, "Oh, Arturo, I was in Peru." And he said, "Really?" He said, "There's a lot of cocaine in Peru, right?" And I said, "Yeah, there is. Have you heard about the history of the country?" He said, "No, it's just that anytime a shipment would come in, whenever it was La Peruana, we would always sell it immediately." He said, "That was always the good stuff." So it's something of an embarrassment for the country that their chief export is cocaine. But actually, they're a wealthy country. They describe themselves as beggars sitting on a pile of gold because they have silver mines, gold mines, all sorts of mining. They have timber. They have oil. It's a great country, but they have been cursed with corruption in the government. And so we live in this city, in this kind of backwoods part of the country where tourists never go unless they're very lost and really shouldn't go. And it's full of people who are descendants of the Incas, the Quechua, and who are Hispanic, descendants of the Spaniards who came over. And they live in the city. And there is sort of a depression, kind of like a cloud that hangs over the whole city and the people. And there's a lot of self-destructive behavior. On a Friday night, it's hard to find a man who's sober. Everybody's getting drunk on Friday nights and Saturday and Sunday. And some people just make it a career option to stay intoxicated. And there's a lot of domestic violence. And we work with children. And it was a shock. And it really emotionally traumatized us almost when the first year we were there. And we started realizing how much gross abuse of children goes on everywhere. People you wouldn't suspect, kids you wouldn't suspect, how much evil there is. And I'll tell you what, the world is evil. Does anybody know that? Apart from Christ, this world is evil. It's a dark, dark place. And bloody. And so when we talk to people, I noticed a story that keeps coming out over and over again. You take taxis there, or these little three-wheel motor car things from India. And so you get to talk to people all the time. And when I first started coming to the country and I learned Spanish well enough to communicate, I would ask people and they started to say the same things. And to this day, almost 20 years later, there's still the same phrase being repeated over and over again. And it's this: it's not our fault we're like this. Other people hurt us, and that's why we're in this condition we're in. Almost 500 years ago, they came over and they conquered our country and they took our gold and they ruined our nation. And that's why we're in this situation. And the government isn't doing enough to take care of us. And the government doesn't feed us. And the government doesn't teach children right from wrong. And it's all the government's fault. And what happens is they play a blame game. And it's always somebody else's fault that I'm in the situation I'm in. And they're blaming their ancestors, and they're blaming the government, and they blame anybody but themselves. And therefore, there's this sense of defeat and depression. Well, I might as well just get drunk because, you know, I'm pathetic and you're pathetic and we're all pathetic. And there's a lot of people, especially men, young men, that are angry, bitter, full of wrath and hatred. That's what fueled the communist movement. It wasn't that the communists had a great argument. Their argument was this: we are going to kill everybody who's old school, and then we're going to take over everything and give it all away, and we'll all be happy. And we'll be in the millennium. Well, they got the first part. They killed a lot of people. They tore up the country. They set it decades behind its neighbors. But they didn't bring in the millennium. And the shedding of one another's blood doesn't doesn't save anyone. It only makes things worse. There's only one who's given his blood to give us peace. There's only one who's given his blood to give us true prosperity. But why did people believe that? Why were thousands and thousands of young people so intoxicated with this? Well, because they're angry and they're bitter. They've been hurt and wounded. And so it's a self-perpetuating cycle. They've been wounded, and so they'll seek to wound. They've been hurt, and they seek to hurt, right? Okay, here's the problem. Satan lied to those people, right? He told them a story that wasn't true. No, but that really happened. They really did come and conquer them. They really were abused. All that stuff really did happen. Yes, it's true. You can't change the past, but you can change how you see the past. You can't change history. Unless you live in the Soviet Union. But you can change how you respond to the history that you are born with. You follow me? And so, our ministry and our message is this. Yes, those things did happen. That's true. Now, what are you going to do?
Well, I'm just going to be mad. I'm going to be upset. I got a right to be mad. I got a right to drink and kill myself.
Do you want to be miserable? Do you want to destroy your life and destroy other lives? Do you really want to do that? There's people that depend on you. And we deal with the children, and it's especially the children that suffer the most. We've got a whole orphanage sent their children to our school. So about a third of our kids now are orphans. And they're kids. And kids, you know, you see them, they jump and make noise, and they're silly, and they're kids. But when we sit down, and we had this one girl in our school that my wife is a mother to, really, and she finally opened up to Amelia. And she's like, oh, I don't know, 14, I guess, or 15 years old. But she told us all just a few months ago. She said that her aunt tried to drown her in a pond when she was little. Her mother was assassinated, and then she was taken to other family members. And her aunt just got frustrated with her, and so she took her and tried to drown her in a charcoal, in a little pond. And she said somebody else got her out. That's lightweight. That's just something out of the blue she shared. And this girl, like many of these young ladies there, is wrestling with, she said, she's very pessimistic and depressed and just says, nothing matters. Life doesn't matter. Nobody cares. Probably the orphanage is going to go bankrupt because their orphanage had some financial problems. It's probably going to go bankrupt. And then we're probably going to have to go live on the streets. And then everything's just going to fall apart. How about that for what you expect in life? What's your dream when you grow up? To have breakfast? And so these children reap what their parents and society sows. You know, one of the lies of the devil in the modern age is that I can do whatever I want and it won't affect anybody. Just so I don't directly hurt anybody, that's okay. That's prevalent here and it's a lie from hell. It's false. You are not independent. You are a part of a whole web. You're a part of a fabric. You came from somebody else. That's why we're celebrating Mother's Day. And if you're a parent, you have other people. But even if you're not, you are part of other people. People are watching you. You're an example. You influence through your word, through your act, through how you behave, through what you do, through what you love, through what you seek. Christ told us that we are to seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. If we do that, he'll add everything else to us. I am so aware of the multi-generational nature, the fabric of our faith, living there in Peru, because I see the big holes, the gaping holes in the wall, the big terrible, empty place in the lives, especially of little ones. And they're just like, just wandering around. What do I do? What do I do? Where do I go? And that's not just in Peru, is it? It's right here in Tyler, Texas. What happened? What happened is that people believed a lie. And Satan persuaded men and women to believe something that is contrary to the Word of God. In Peru, they're very proud of who they used to be, but many people are ashamed of who they are. Oh, we were once a great nation. They were. They were the Inca Empire. Oh, we once had all kinds of gold and silver. That's true. And it was stolen and spent on wars in Europe. So, therefore, I got a right to get drunk. I got a right to be angry. No, that's nonsense. That's a lie. Because God Almighty stepped into time. Eternity became a man. He was born a little baby of a mother. And Jesus' mother said, not I'm going to believe the lie of Satan, like our mother Eve did, but she believed the word of God. And she said, be it with me according to your will. In other words, Lord, you have your way. Whatever you want, I'm your servant. And her faith allowed Christ to be supernaturally conceived within her womb. That's the way God saved the world. And Christ, born of a virgin, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. And the third day, he rose again from the dead. And he ascended to the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from which he will come again to judge the living and the dead. And he is interceding for you right now. Amen. The ministry of Christ is active at this moment. You realize that's why you're still saved. You realize that's why you're here. That's why you're not dead yet. Is he's praying for you and interceding for you. And he sends the Spirit to convict you. The Lord only convicts and brings wounds to those he intends to heal. And that's why he's drawn you to himself, because he loves you and he doesn't want you to destroy yourself forever. You may have destroyed yourself thus far, but you don't have to destroy yourself forever. That's the message we preach. And that's what we tell. And then we say this: have you believed in Christ? Yes. Are you his son? Are you his daughter? You are his son. You are his daughter. And if you are his son and daughter by faith, then you are a new creature. Old things have passed away. And that story does not define you anymore. This story defines you. But you are a chosen people. The spirit of despair there is incredible to me. It's amazing to talk to young people and to talk to people that feel like they don't matter. You know, when you feel like you don't matter, you do whatever you want with your body, with your mind, with your soul. Nobody cares. So I'm just going to shoot up. Women say, nobody loves me. I'll never have really love, so I might as well have pleasure. That's a cheap substitute. But when you realize you are a chosen people, God told Israel, it's not because you're the biggest or the greatest nation in the world. It's just because I chose you. That's why. In his own sovereign, loving decision, God decided to raise up Israel. Right? We're a part of that now, ladies and gentlemen. You're a chosen people. God chose you. You are a royal priesthood. You're not nobody. You are a holy nation. There's that word. That means, and this is what we tell our students, you don't have the right to act like that, young lady. You don't have the right to behave like that, young man. You are a holy nation. Do you understand what that means? Well, maybe I don't want to. Don't make no difference. God wants you to. God chose you. Get the want to. That's what we tell the kids. You're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Now listen to this. a people belonging to God. You belong to somebody. You're not orphans. You belong to somebody. You're not stranded out there on the highway by yourself. You belong to somebody. You belong to God Almighty, a people belonging to God. He owns you. He has you. He has your best interest in mind. I don't know if I can trust him. You can. Look and see how he's dealt with everyone through Scripture, through time, through history. Look how he's dealt with you. But if God's good, why is this world so bad? Why have I been mistreated? Why have all these bad things happened to me? Because God gave people freedom and they screwed up. And because God does not pull our strings like a puppet master. The one who does that is Satan. God allows us to make decisions and reap the consequences of it. God allows us to live in this fabric of relationships where I make a decision and it affects everybody around me for decades and even centuries, for good or for bad. That's the way the world works. But you know what? If you surrender to God, and if you allow the Word of God to dwell richly in you, and if you believe His truth, and if you accept His story rather than the world's story, the consequences for good are incredible. It changes history. You can't change what happened in the past, but you can change how you respond to it. You can believe God's Word. You can stand up and be a man of God. You can be a woman of God. You can believe the truth. And it starts with saying, okay, Lord, you say you love me. You say you accept me. I believe it. I believe it. And it will probably entail you fighting against deeply entrenched habits in your mind and in your body to the contrary. Amen. But our God has a habit of changing bad habits. If you believe the truth will make you free. If you believe the truth, this will be the reality that you walk in. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Why? So we can sit back and get fat and be lazy? No. Just eat on the pews what falls? No. The Lord wants to feed us, and He wants to feed us well, but He's got a purpose for it. He said, you are called that you may do what? Declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. What are we saying here? God has called us to declare His praises. How do we do that? Well, you know, singing, that's good. That's great. That's a very meaningful way that the church expresses worship to God. But what gives our songs weight is when our lives are declaring God's praise Monday through Saturday. Amen. When we live a life that brings glory to God, when we declare His praises through our works and through our words and through our testimony, when we say no to the flesh, no to the devil, no to the world, and yes to God, when we do the good works that He's prepared for us to do, then we live a life that brings praise to God. And that fills our singing, and that fills our confession, that fills our declaration with substance. We proclaim the praises of Him that called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. In Old English, the word gospel comes from two words, the Germanic and the Viking people that settled in what is the British Isles. They spoke a language that eventually became our language. And so the two words that make up the word gospel are God's spell, God's tale, God's story. The gospel is God's story. Are you going to believe God's story? Or are you going to believe the world's story? I'll tell you what, the world is full of lies. There's lots of stories in the world. But if you believe God's story, then you're going to walk according to this word. Once you were not a people, but now you're the people of God. There's echoes there from, what is that, Hosea? Once you're not a people. Once you're nobody. Now you're the people of God. Once you'd not receive mercy, but now you have received mercy. Hallelujah. Let's do a little exercise here. Everybody say, we are the people of God. We have received mercy. We're a chosen people. We're a royal priesthood. We're a holy nation. We're a people belonging to God. We declare His praises. He called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right, let's see if we can roll this slideshow here. And if anybody can turn off the lights, that would be good. You see the children we work with and some of the members of our church and volunteers here. Sister Sarelli right there, chapel with the girls. Things we have heard and known that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation, that the next generation might know them. To the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God. Kids. It's my sister in the middle who'll be coming down to work with us long term. See some of the shots of the wonderful people God sent to work with us. Preferred mode of transportation there. Campus security. Love never fails, but it does get dirty. Welding class with Brian. We preach the cross of Christ and build bathrooms for orphanages. And go where God sends. Pray for us. This young lady graduated this past year and was accepted in the first Christian university in the country. This is where we are going to build the school right there. That's where we're standing, where that area is. A little bit about our church planting. Pray for the people of Peru. Behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the people, but the Lord will arise upon you. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings? Let the little children come to me, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. Preach the truth. Pray without ceasing. Serve in the word. Serve at the table. Believe God. This man that I had my hand on, his wife was supernaturally able to have a baby just a few months ago. Make disciples. Visit orphans and widows in their affliction. This little guy was an orphan. You should be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Let us not be weary of well-doing. It's actually vacation. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. God multiplies the bread. Esperanza Viva Church, Huanuco, Peru. Preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish, but to us that are saved, it's the power of God. I'll make the wilderness a pool of water and dry land, springs of water. Remember us in prayer. There we are, Calvary Commission, our students, Christian School of the Andes. Thank you very much. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to be your people. And Lord, we reject all the lies we've believed. We will order our life inwardly and outwardly, at home and in public, according to what you say we are, not what the world says we are. Lord, we reject the lies and we believe your truth. Bless these kids in the school. Bless the teachers. Bless, Lord God, all the volunteers that are down there and all those who are serving, they're serving with. Even right now, as we're praying, I know that they're in Wanaco. They are praying in that church that the Calvary Commission remodeled. And I pray that your presence will be with them and that you will bring many to know your word and that many will be brought out of the darkness into the light of the Son of your love. We commend all our works into your hands. We give you thanks. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord bless you. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Gary. Wonderful message and challenge that God has given us. What are y'all doing? They brought offering pans. Wow. And look at Dorsey. Yes, amen. Out of ICU into ICU. Amen. We are a missionary church, and you've always blessed in many ways how that God uses you to be able to give to those that come our way. And we're going to give you an opportunity to give. I ask you to pray. We're going to pray right now and ask God to give you how that you can invest in missions. They are leaving Wednesday and traveling how many miles? 3,786 miles to go to the vision God has given us and placed in our hearts and their hearts. I have been on those areas, is it two times now, that I have been there, and we will be going again. And so we will take some of you with us next time, amen, and we will let you go now by your $1, $5, $10, $20, $30, $100, $50, any way you want to do it. But we're going to pray and ask God to speak to the congregation right now.
I just want to say that I know a lot of people maybe not physically able to go, but I want you to be aware of this, and this is according to God's word, that those who stay in the camp are the same as those who go. For everything that you give towards this mission or any mission, anything that you do, you're a part of it. Whether you go and actually go to Peru or you just send money to Peru, you're a part of everything that God's doing there.
What a joy it is to participate in the giving of the Lord. Lord, we pray right now. First of all, we want to enter into your gates with thanksgiving, into your courts with praise. Lord, I thank you for raising Gary up as a young man and putting vision of missions in his heart. Lord, and teaching him even pastoral ministry and all of these things, the language, the culture, and meeting Amelia and being able to go as a family now with these two children and to be able to invest and to plant seeds in a needy land that, Lord, you said that he who goes forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, bringing the sheaves with them. And, Lord, we know that that's fruit of the ministry. We also know, God, that as we pray right now, that you're speaking to our hearts of how that we can sacrificially give today as a congregation, as individuals, and corporately as a church to meet a special need. Lord, we know that that building is getting ready to go up, and we're lacking in completion. But, Lord, we know that whatever we do today will be placed in that harvest field, and it will be planted, and that we know that it will grow and it will develop. And Lord, we pray for health and strength for this family. We pray, God, for protection and safety. We pray, God, for all of their prayers to be heard, and that we would join them in their prayers, and that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So God, we ask you to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. May the Lord bless you as you give. Thank you so much for your participation. God will bless you abundantly. Let us stand, please. We're so glad that you've been with us today and that we have been able to experience the presence of the Lord. And we're going to release you. We know that it's Mother's Day and there's some who've got special activities. And we are going to just believe that you will have a wonderful day. And we ask you to come back on Wednesday night and next Sunday morning and raise your hands. I want to bless you today. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Oye, Israel, Jehová nuestro Dios, Jehová uno es, y amarás a Jehová tu Dios de todo tu corazón y de toda tu alma y con todas las fuerzas. The Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Jehová te bendiga y te guarde. Jehová haga resplandecer su rostro sobre ti y tenga de ti misericordia. Jehová alce sobre ti su rostro y ponga en ti paz. Now, I commission you to go and be a blessing to someone today. Go out to this needy world and be a light. Go out and be salt in the earth. Go out and give hope. Be ready to give everyone that asks you the reason for the hope that's within you. Go and find a need and meet it. Find a hope and heal it. God bless you. We love you. Shake each other's hands. Go by and get some coffee. Go by and get some baked goods.